Welcome to Cryptic Soup. Tonight's case is the story of Tucker Hips. Tucker was a young student at Clemson University in South Carolina. Tucker was going through the pledging process to join a fraternity when a twist of events ended in Tucker's life, ending far too soon. Now, there are a lot of questions that need answers, and the biggest one of all, was this an accident? I'm Kylie.
And I'm Thina.
And tonight, we have a mysterious case to share with you.
I wasn't going to wait for the I'm Kylie. You said, was this an accident? And I was ready. I was like, oh, time to say I'm Thina. And I was just going to, was this an accident? I'm Thina. Tonight was going to be a very interesting episode in the beginning already.
Again.
Yep. But then I decided I'll wait for the I'm Kylie. Apparently it's like my cue.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Here we are.
Hello.
Here you are. You're here with us together. You're here. We're here. We're here together.
What was I going to say in this? I was
about your laugh.
Yes, that's what it was. OK, so I decided to learn how to edit this podcast. So if you liked the last one, that was all me. But there was a part where I laughed. And like I had to figure out where I was going to cut it. Right. And my laugh was like. So funny because it was so isolated.
That's a really good one.
I kept listening to it. So it was just like a playback of.
I always make this joke that like Seth Rogen's laugh could heal any of my ailments in life.
Yes.
And it's whenever people like fake laugh, I always think of him because people are always like, when they fake laugh. And I'm like, it's so close to wanting to be a Seth Rogen laugh, no matter what.
Yep.
Yeah.
What you got?
Kylie, Corey, Margie, and me, I went to a museum this weekend. That was really fun. We also went to my favorite restaurant, the Chicago Diner. It's the oldest vegan restaurant in the entire United States.
It was delicious.
It was so good. I impressed them with the milkshakes. The milkshakes are definitely
Oh my gosh, yes.
The winners.
Better than regular milkshakes, honestly.
They're so good. We went to H Mart, got a ton of like Asian and Korean and Japanese and like different types of like snack foods and candies and foods. That was really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And
we definitely have to go back and eat there.
And then we went to Micro Center and Thina got some new stuff to build another keyboard because why not?
Whoopsies.
My bad. And then the guy at Micro Center was like, yeah, are you guys doing anything special today? And I got so excited. I accidentally screamed at him. I go, it's my birthday. And I screamed it at this poor man. Like, I was just so excited. And then everyone else around me, like, heard me obviously scream. And they thought maybe I made it up. So they all, like, turn around and they're like, is it actually your birthday? Like, I was like, no.
Like you're just being like, sarcastic. My birthday. No, it's really my birthday. Yeah. I just forget.
Yeah. I've been forgetting my birthday a lot this year. So that's all. That's my big thing. I got my strawberry cake this year and I'm happy. It's still my birthday month, but.
There's still gold glitter in my bathroom.
Yeah, there's golden glitter stuck on my eyelashes. I had to get a new pair of false lashes because I can't get them off. That was fun.
It's never coming off.
It's never coming off.
You should just add more gold glitter at this
point. Don't tempt me. I'll add glitter to everything in both of our lives.
Okay.
What about you? You got anything?
I don't think so.
Well, before we start, I do have questions about this case for you.
Okay.
If you want to do those.
Sure.
Did you go to college?
Yes.
Where'd you go to college? Oh, you don't have to say. That's personal.
I'm also enrolled in college right now.
Did you ever want to join a sorority?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever, well, I guess that's pretty much my only questions because I was going to say, like, have you gone through a sorority process? But if you haven't done it, then not yet, obviously. Okay.
I chickened out.
Well, tonight's case is about a fraternity, which is, you know, the brotherhood of the sorority. So.
The guy version.
Yeah. Well, I don't like calling it a guy version because technically females can be in fraternities and males can be in sororities. So it gets...
As we learned in, what is that movie where she has to remember people's names by saying them weird.
The house bunny.
Yeah, house bunny. Yep.
Melody. Oliver.
That movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking of Sydney White. So, yeah. You're right. House bunny.
Yep.
So tonight's case is the case of Tucker Hips. I've heard a few podcasts do this, but it's not near as like talked about, I feel like, because it's very recent and there's not a lot of answers to it. So maybe that's why it is kind of hard to find some of the information. Like, to give examples, I couldn't even find out his actual birth date, the person in this case.
Wow.
It wasn't even in his obituary.
Wow.
So there is some things that you just cannot figure out. But I also wanted to add some general knowledge about fraternities and hazing, both these concepts, because some people may be listening from over the pond or something else, and maybe these two concepts do not exist in their realms. So I figured let's just do a rundown on them.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they do exist, but that's fine.
Well, yes. I didn't know if they were different, I should say.
Yeah. Like if there's hazing and all of that.
Or okay. If it's even... Some places it's legal, some places it's illegal. Maybe if theirs is more friendly, it never got illegalized. Illegalized, not a word. Okay.
Nope.
Answered my own question.
It's a double negative.
Okay, so did you know that there actually technically is not an exact list of how many hazing deaths or incidents there are? Because there's no central system for tracking hazing deaths, since we can't say sometimes if it's for sure because of hazing or not. And the role of hazing is really subject to disagreement, because like, if someone dies of alcohol poisoning, is it their fault or is it because of hazing's fault? You see what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, because you like caved under peer pressure, but that was all you like,
yeah,
acting under peer pressure.
Yeah. According to the National Collaborative for Hazing Research and Prevention at the University of Maine, hazing is defined as any activity expected of someone for joining or participating in a group that humiliates, degrades, abuses, or endangers them, regardless of a person's willingness to participate.
AKA you're forced
mm-hmm.
to do things you don't
want to do.
Necessarily want to do. Yes.
There has been at least one university hazing death every single year since 1969 up till actually nowadays, but 2021 that's been noted. There have been over 200 university hazing deaths that have occurred since 1838. Alcohol poisoning is the biggest cause of these deaths. However, here are some of the other causes. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Burning to death, injuries from falling, inhaling chlorine gas, drowning, neck trauma, tuberculosis.
Excuse me?
Yep. Sepsis, pneumonia, hit by a train, neck lacerations, electrocution, broken neck, gunshots, suffocation, heart failure, cardiac arrest, being buried alive, hypothermia, heat stroke, suicide due to the act of being hazed, and many more.
Wow.
These are just some. So I added a few of them so that other people can hear just like how just scary this is and how heinous the activities have been over the years with no regards to human life. February 19th, 1945, a man named Robert Perry passed. Perry died a day after he was critically injured in a fire that occurred during his fraternity initiation of hazing ceremony. His nude body was coated with a flammable substance, and then after coating his body, electrical shocks were administered to his skin that lit him on fire till he literally cooked to death.
Nope. No, thank you.
November 12th, 1974, a man named William Flowers died. Flowers, along with some other pledges, were told to dig a hole deep in some sand that they were going to have to be in, essentially like being buried. Well, the walls collapsed of it because it was sand, and Flowers ended up being buried alive, killing him. His death actually spurred an anti-hazing statue in New York, because Flowers was going to be the first Black member of this fraternity had he survived, and now they had to say they murdered their first ever Black student that attempted to join this fraternity.
Nice.
February 14th, 1994, Michael Davis.
Why are these happening in February? That seems weird to me.
Well, because maybe they're... Actually, I picked two Februarys and two Novembers. I didn't even mean to.
Weird.
It might be that they were a transfer student, so maybe, you know, they're joining the second semester, is what I genuinely think.
November kind of makes more sense, because, like, usually you start in, like, September.
Mm-hmm. So that but person February joined at the beginning just, of the year.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. Michael Davis. Davis died after being brutally beaten as part of his hazing ritual. He was unconscious when he was driven home and then he was put to bed. He had broken ribs, a lacerated kidney, a lacerated liver, and bruises all over his chest, neck, back, and arms. He died from bleeding in his brain.
Nice.
How would you want to be a part of this fraternity after that?
Right.
If they beat you that bad. November 12th, 2018, so more recent, Colin Waint. Waint was a freshman at Ohio University. He died of asphyxiation due to nitrous oxide being ingested from the whipped cream chargers because their hazing event involved sleep deprivation mixed with physical beatings and forced ingestion of alcohol and drugs that included whippets, all combined at the same time.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These are all very safe and very good, right? Yep.
Sounds great.
Supposedly, hazing is useful because it will build solidarity and brotherhood. You know, so does just like going to a concert together.
Being bros.
Like, I mean, there's like way other greater things. Go camping and see who can catch the biggest fish.
Yeah.
There are.
Camping sounds a lot better.
There are a lot of ways you can build solidarity and brotherhood, not this. They say it brings the bonds together, though, because you all endure such a strenuous event that you have an everlasting connection that can't be broken because, like, you know, you all went through this.
I suppose. Yeah. It's traumatic, probably.
But that's honestly. Like saying that guys that went to war together are all brothers. Yes, they are, because they have PTSD because of the heinous right. things they went through.
Right.
You're not trying to recreate that nope. at Ohio State University, guys.
They are, though.
It's ridiculous. To its core, hazing is just a small-minded activity that's simply humiliating, degrading, abusive, and endangering that has no place for any singular person to instill upon another person, in my opinion. Hazing is not limited to college or fraternities or even sororities, despite that being with a lot of people associated with, but it's also really prevalent in gangs, sports, schools, cliques, militaries, prisons, and more. Some countries call it different terms. I've heard it called, well, I've read it. I might be pronouncing it wrong. Nonismo, also grandfathering and things like this because they want to make it seem more lighthearted and make it sound, you know, like because everyone knows the term hazing as bad. So if you, you know, I'm grandfathering him in, it doesn't sound as bad. It's still bad.
Yep. Still bad.
Now, tonight's case has been up for a lot of debate about whether it even is a hazing case or not. And so I'm just going to tell you everything that we know and that we can get information on, and then you can pretty much decide for yourself. So let's get into it, right? Tucker Hips was born in Greenville, South Carolina in June of 1995. His parents' names were Gary and Cindy Hips. His mother, Cindy, said that they never planned on having children, but once Tucker came along, he completed them and he brought them so much joy that they felt like a completed family. His mom said, he was always into everything. He always wanted to be the center of attention when he was in school. And like when she says he was always into everything, like she literally means like he joined every club he could. He joined every sport. Like he
was a jack of all trades.
Yeah. Like he literally was always in things. He wanted to just be in events, doing things, being fun. Not like I need to be the center of attention type person in a sense. But his father, Gary, said that he loved playing and they always had a good time together. Tucker had a passion for helping people who were less fortunate. He would even give his own money to those in need. Tucker loved everyone, and everyone reported, like, after the event, saying that he was their best friend. Like, no matter who he met, he was their best friend. Tucker would make funny faces all the time, and that was, like, a big thing, is, like, everyone had all these pictures and photos of Tucker, and he just, like, he always made everyone else around him smile and laugh because he just couldn't take anything in life seriously. He was always happy. Tucker also was known to be a very devout member of his church. He went to the Rock Springs Baptist Church, and he actually really, really was big into Christianity. He accepted Christ at the early age of 10 years old, and he was really active in his youth and church sports. In general, he was also just an athletic person. He played soccer, baseball, football, and basketball. He was involved in the Palmetto Boys State program, which he was a senior counselor in. When you look up the program, it kind of seemed like it was just similar to like U.S. government based programs because it's a political group that you join to learn about judicial systems and how they work and like how like democracy functions as a whole and stuff. But you also have to be recommended to go into it. And it has to be that you're recommended by like your teachers and your peers and everything. So it's like an honor to get into this program that you are like the best of the best. And you have to be accepted into the position.
Well, it's probably a step towards being some sort of like political figure type thing.
It reminds me, this is a terrible probably analogy, but this is the closest I got. It reminds me of, oh God, what is that thing called?
When you can like intern with
United
the mayor.
Nation. Oh.
Oh. What?
We were going for different things.
Yes.
I was going to say the United Nations type groups, but this one was like kind of like United Nations, but US based in a sense. Because I know in United Nations groups, you learn about how like different governments work all over the world and how they work together as a whole. But this one's like learning how the US one works as a whole and how it operates within itself. But that's what it reminds me of, is like United Nations. Does that make sense?
Well,
also, kind of. I only know United Nations from the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen film When in Rome, mixed with Never Have I Ever. So maybe I don't really know what United Nations is. Oh, and in Community, they do an episode on it. But my school didn't have it. We weren't big enough. So,
I mean, we had like.
We had a government
club
group.
And yeah, a government group.
I was president of it.
Sorry.
No, it was so fucking fun.
No, I'm sure it was.
No, it really was. I feel
no,
like you're
I know. I'm not being sarcastic.
Okay.
I just like in school, I've had this conversation multiple times, but like in school, I was very much like against history and things like that. Like I loved science and English. But yeah, now that I'm older, I want to go to history class.
Yes, we have talked about this because I said I was into government and history and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where I excelled the most. Clearly not in science, because the other day we proved that wrong.
That's
that
okay.
was embarrassing. After Tucker had graduated, he went to Wren High School. That's where he graduated from. And he graduated there in 2013, where he actually participated in school sports year round. They called him a tri-star athlete or whatever it's called, like three-season athlete or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the exact term, but pretty much he was in sports year round. He also did a bunch of other school activities. But in school itself, Tucker was always really well liked by everyone. People said he was kind, nice, always busy, bubbly, and his dad described him as just the all-American kid. He says, like, when you think of, like, a well-rounded all-American kid, like, you think of Tucker. Tucker is the one. Tucker knew that after high school, he really wanted to go on to attend college at Clemson University before he ultimately wants to go on to study law someday. And I was reading about Clemson University, by the way, and there was this one thing where it was like, people that go to Clemson are obsessed with Clemson. Like, that's the way it is. Like, at Clemson, you love Clemson. And whatever the rival school in South Carolina is, like, if you're there, you go there. Like, you know where you want to go when you're in high school. And, like, you want to go to one or the other. You're not like, I might want to go. No, it's like, they are arch nemesis. It sounded like.
I got it.
That's, like, how everyone described it. And I was like, love that for them.
That's how, like, high school. Well, that's how high school was for me anyway.
It just sounded so funny, like, even at a college level being there, they're like, no, you know what college. And he knew Clemson's the one.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Spencer from Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, he is a Spencer. Well, yeah. I mean, minus all the bad stuff. But yeah,
well,
he's the good part of Spencer.
Right.
Yeah, he is. He's Spencer.
Academically
gifted,
inclined and gifted and sporty and. Yeah,
he's just so his dad described him perfectly. He's really well-rounded as a kid. So he ends up going to Clemson, right? So he goes to Clemson University of South Carolina, where he starts to participate in intramural sports. His freshman year seemed like it was a pretty easy breezy time for him. By year two, he was a sophomore. He started to think about it and he's like, you know, I want to add something else to my ever growing list of things I'm doing and my blossoming resume of activities. So in September of 2014, Tucker was entering his sophomore year. He was studying political science and he decided to pledge at the local fraternity called Sigma Phi Epsilon.
Epsilon? Epsilon. Yes. Sigma Pi Epsilon.
Yeah. Tucker was, I'm not good with Greek words.
Nope.
Which is funny because my name is Athena. You would think I'm not Greek. I'm
right.
Not at all.
Nope.
Take one look at me. I'm not Greek, I promise.
No. Yep.
I wish I was. I'd be a bronzed goddess. Tucker was slightly nervous about the concept of fraternities. And when he asked his parents if it was the right choice, they at first were also a little hesitant. But the thing is, Tucker ended up going to the orientation And that really helped him make the choice because they put statistics like into the whole presentation and that put it into perspective for him. They mentioned how most students and fraternities actually had higher average GPAs and grades, which was surprising but enlightening for Tucker. And I guess the way they described it is they're like, kind of because like, you know, they keep looks you in good. Line.
Yeah.
And you can get kicked out of your fraternity if you don't. So like that makes sense. It's kind of like sports, like in high school, like you get kicked off if you don't meet requirements.
You got to be good to stay good.
Yeah. So this was the push that Tucker needed. He thought with the brotherhood system, it seemed like you would have a better support system than just trying to like tackle college all on your own because you had a better management of your time, energy, because you had that like that backup, that system that's going to help you, your brothers. Tucker wasn't going to be living wildly far away from home, but he thought that this might help at least give him that added support since he wouldn't be at home with his parents anymore. And he was going to be leaving his church that he goes to, you know. And with him being such an active member of it, he probably was looking for something similar, you know. So the fraternity felt like someplace that would feel like a little bit of like home life while being at college. The idea really appealed to him, which when he explained it in this kind of terms, it started to appeal to his parents. But none of them really thought like none of this would turn out like this. They didn't think of hazing at all and as a whole. It was September 22nd, 2014, when Sam Carney, he's a member of the fraternity, had supposedly set up a pre-dawn run. The fraternity members of Sigma Pi were up at 5:30 a.m. for this morning run. Now, the university had actually banned these pre-morning like runs, saying that they weren't allowed to do them. And the fraternity had apparently called the university to try to get permission to do the run, but the university never called them back. So they decided to go and do the run anyways. So because of that, supposedly the pledges were all told to wear black or dark clothing so they wouldn't be seen when they were out.
That sounds safe.
There was going to be 3 fraternity members and 27 pledges, including Tucker, on the run. They all met at Clemson's Donaldson's Hall at 5:30 a.m. to start the event. Some of the guys noticed that while they were on Highway 93, the bridge above Lake Hartwell, Tucker started slowing down. And some of the guys said they just felt like maybe he was slowing down to catch a breather because, you know, they're on a run. That makes sense. I would be completely winded behind everyone.
Yeah, a little bit.
It makes sense. Fine. And I would have done that too if this was the scenario. I'd been like, you know, like, keep going. I'll catch up with you guys. Because right. You don't want to be the one that holds everyone back. If you there's be 30 the weak guys.
The ugly duckling in the back.
So some people say they thought, you know, maybe he was trying to catch his breath. Some people were like, or, you know, maybe he was just trying to tie his shoe. Like, that could have been obvious, you know. But people thought it had to do something along those lines, not anything else. When some of the fraternity brothers were later gathering, so they get home from the run, right? Keep that in mind. They get home from this run. Some of the fraternity brothers were gathering to meet for breakfast around 7 a.m. And all of a sudden, they noticed Tucker's not here with them. Tucker's not in the house. So they were like, oh, that's odd. There's no reason he shouldn't have showed up for breakfast. Like, he should be here. Why didn't he come downstairs for breakfast? So the guys started to look around the house, thinking that maybe he was just like laying down because the run was too hard or something like that, right? They found Tucker's keys and phone left in the house, but no sign of Tucker. And that is the thing. Like, all the guys were told, like, hey, leave your phones and keys at the house so we don't have extra stuff like on us. You know, that makes sense.
Just a run.
Yeah.
We're going to run and we're going to come home.
Yeah. But they found Tucker's stuff left where it was left when he left. That was so many times I said left.
Yeah, it was. Was it where he left it?
It was left. Not right. Left. No. Now, authorities and Tucker's parents say no one had even mentioned that Tucker is missing at this point because they don't think he's missing. They're just like, oh, he's just not here. He's not missing. He's just not here.
That's like the definition of missing, but it's fine.
No, he's just not here. Some of the members at this point start to retrace their steps from the morning run and they still find no sign of Tucker and they still don't call authorities.
Sounds smart.
You know what this just in this moment kind of reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
Dior Koontz, where they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, something, he's missing. Let's not call the authorities. Oh, he's missing. Let's not call the authorities.
The authorities don't need to know those things, right? Like, right.
I don't know what I would do in this situation, but I genuinely do think I'm the person that would call. I would rather call and be wrong than not make that judgment call.
You'd rather be embarrassed about it than.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regret it.
At approximately 1:45 p.m., finally, a kid named Campbell Starr, which is a different one of the fraternity members, calls the campus police to tell them what's happening. He's been missing since 7 a.m.
Okay.
At 1:45, they call. So it's a 4-minute phone call. I was going to just write it all out and have Kylie and I do it, but I want you to hear how kind of calm Campbell is, mixed with how he stutters a few times, because at one point they're like, where we only pick people up if they're like called in. And he's like, well, didn't come home. Like, it's just kind of like, that's not exactly it, but you'll hear it in about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? So I'm going to have Corey teach Kylie how to insert clips.
Yay.
we're going to insert the clip here. You can listen to the phone call yourself.
Clinton University Police of Fire.
Hi, I'm calling to see if earlier this morning or some point today y'all picked up a 19-year-old guy, like brown hair. He's like my buddy. I'm looking for him.
We haven't arrested anybody today.
No, not like an arrest. Just like picked him up.
What do you mean picked up?
I don't know, like just like off the side of the road or something.
No, we don't just pick up people off the side of the road. The only thing we do is if we have arrest or if we have to send medics out to somebody.
Okay.
Where was the last place you were seeing your buddy?
We went for a run this morning.
Do he live on campus?
No, he lives in Aspen Heights, but we went to his house. He wasn't there, so we're trying to find him.
You tried his classes and his roommates?
Yeah.
Was he sick or depressed or anything?
No, I don't know. We didn't think he was or anything like. So we don't want to file a report yet. I'm just calling to see if y'all could help us out a little bit.
Have you called Clemson City to see if he has been arrested or picked up there, or?
No, see, he wouldn't be arrested for anything. That's not even a question.
Have you called Clemson City to see if they medics picked up anybody?
No,
if they picked up anybody
next.
Walking.
Next.
Where's Aspen Heights?
Down 123. No, it's down Old Greenville Highway, down past Lilo.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Call Clemson City. Let me transfer you to Clemson City.
Good.
And you can find out if they had called medics to pick up anybody in case, you know, he could have been sick or if an officer saw him and gave him a ride somewhere.
The weird thing is that we have he left his phone in my place and his truck keys and everything. Like, we have everything just like we have no idea where he is.
Was he depressed?
No, not at all.
Nothing like that?
No, like we just and we said like this was a group of us and we thought like everybody made it back and we realized until late realized that we have all this stuff. And
okay, when was the last time you saw him?
When we were running.
This morning.
Yeah.
Okay, and were you running on campus or off campus?
We started on campus, and we went across. We went down. What's that road called? I guess that's Old Greenville Highway too. We were going towards Seneca, down by the lake.
Okay.
And we were just running down that road, and we went to the bridge and came back.
Okay, on Highway 93, going to the YMCA area.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was still with you then.
Yeah.
And then you came back.
Yeah.
And then where was the last point you saw him?
When we were running. Someone said that he was running with us, and he said, he was there, and then, we got back, and we thought everybody made it back, and we didn't, I didn't realize that he wasn't back, because I thought he was. And we're where is he? Where is he at? And, no one knows where he is. Because, like I said, I have his cell phone, I have his car keys, his truck, everything.
Okay. Did you backtrack?
Yeah, we went and re-ran the entire area. We went to the woods and everything.
And no signs of him?
No.
Okay, what is his name? That way, in case we get a medic call or anything.
I don't really want to do a report yet.
No, I'm not saying a report. I'm saying if I have to dispatch out medics because he was sick somewhere, I can know that we need to contact you. Because
His name's Tucker Hips.
Tucker?
Hips.
Hit?
Hips, HIPPS.
HITTS?
PP,
Hips.
Hips, yeah, hips.
Okay. Do you want to leave your name and number or anything in case we...
Yeah, you can leave my name and number.
Okay, what's your name and number?
My name's Campbell Starr.
So that's the phone call. The phone call really is just like double-checking the route the guys took running the events. Like, what's occurred so far this morning? The dispatcher asks a few times, like, hey, did you know if Tucker was depressed? And on the phone, they're like, yeah, I don't think so. They repeat multiple times. They haven't filled out reports yet. They haven't called it in. They haven't filled out reports. It just, I'm not going to speculate here, but it seems a little suspicious.
It's a little sus.
Once that phone call ended, the actual authorities become involved at this point, not like super long after, because I don't know if the campus police call the authorities or if they do, but the authorities do become involved.
They probably do. It's probably protocol.
I think it would be them, to be honest, but around 2:15 p.m., police officers begin searching near the bridge that Campbell Starr mentioned in the phone call that they were running across. While scouring the area around 3:30 p.m., which, again, Tucker's been missing since 7 a.m., so we're at 3:30 now, an officer spots a body in the water. And it's not far from where the fraternity brothers had led them to, saying this is where we were running earlier that morning. So... earlier, one of the fraternity brothers had told authorities, like, just what Tucker was wearing. And the big thing that stuck out to the authorities was they said he was wearing, like, some pretty, like, bright blue-looking tennis shoes. So the officer noticed these, like, bright blue-looking tennis shoes sticking out of the water because the rest of his body was actually almost fully submerged in the water. They recover the body, and it was Tucker Hips. But they didn't actually fully recover his body until 5:15 p.m., and they take him out of the water by stretcher that night. Rescue divers had to recover him from a kind of shallow watered area, actually. But it was in near the bridge area, only 10 feet from the actual shoreline. At 6:30 p.m. that night, authorities officially started to decide they need to launch an investigation. They begin talking with anyone and everyone who went on the run that morning. And pretty much every single person tells the exact same story. And it's lining up pretty well with the stories that were given throughout the day earlier to authorities and to the campus authorities. They all went for a run. Tucker slowed down. Then they got back to the house. They all start having breakfast. They didn't realize things were weird till breakfast. And that's it. All the guys left their keys and phones at the house. And that's it. So after the initial round of questioning, the police are like, okay, let's do that again. And everyone's like, no, no. Every single person pretty much lawyered up.
Oh, okay.
And from then on out, no one talks without a lawyer. Which that's such a slippery slope. We talk about it all the time, but it is a slippery slope.
Could be sus.
It could be suspicious, but also cops sometimes will purposely back you into a corner if they want you to be what they're looking for. And mm-hmm. you don't know how to say or do the right thing without getting yourself in a pickle when you're not even in a pickle. It reminds me, again, I'm going to tell you guys what it reminds me of. You guys don't care, but I'm going to tell you. It reminds me of the movie Legally Blonde, where she doesn't want to tell the truth of what she's doing because it's going to get her in trouble. Brooke Shields or whatever. No, not Brooke Shields. Brooke Wyndham. Sorry, Brooke Shields is a real person. Brooke Wyndham's like, I can't tell him what I was doing because I was getting liposuction that day. But she knew she didn't murder her husband. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
But she's going to fry on the stand because of it.
But it was the perm.
But it reminds me of that. But it was the perm, luckily. Freaking Elle Woods.
Love it.
Queen.
Love it.
By 7:50 p.m., the sheriff's office finally announces that they recovered the body from the lake. They make a statement, and by 8:40 p.m., the coroner officially identifies the body as Tucker Hips. That's almost 24 hours. In 24 hours, we haven't. No, that's 12 hours. Can't do math.
Math is hard.
In 12 hours, it's actually like 13, but like 13 hours, they have an answer. We've heard some cases where that is not the case.
That is fast.
This is a fast-moving case.
Yep.
The coroner's autopsy ruled Tucker died from blunt force trauma, which when you hear that, a lot of people think he was struck by something. It was actually really more that the coroner noted it was consistent that he had a downward head-first falling injury, probably likely due to shallow water areas and rocks surrounding it. So... the fall, if he fell from the bridge area, would have been about 25 feet. So falling 25 feet and hitting your head on rocks, that could cause blunt force trauma very easily. However, if a kid fell 25 feet off a bridge, It's weird that no one out of 29 other people heard or saw anything, which all the fraternity, every single one said they didn't hear or see anything.
Mm.
A single person.
Interesting.
Isn't that a little odd? So with a story like this, obviously rumors are just running wild. Like campus is a, it's like the Gainesville Ripper all over. It's a wild campus where you can't keep stories straight anymore. There were stories about how the fraternity was trying to sweep things under the rug, and it's a giant cover-up story, and that's what's secretly happening. Specifically because there is Sam Carney in the fraternity. And Sam Carney's dad is John Carney, which John Carney is a former three-term Democratic congressman from Delaware.
Of course he is.
And not only is like he A, well off, but B, like it would do his family some bad for his name to be associated with a potential murder or homicide or anything like that. But also some of the other members have some really well-off parents and everything. So some people say like the university was helping to hide the whole mishap and that like they were sweeping it under the rug on purpose. Then there were other rumors like before calling the police, one of the fellow pledges was told to text Tucker's girlfriend, Katie, and tell her that they had earlier seen Tucker at the library to keep her from getting alarmed if she wasn't able to find Tucker. Then she wouldn't have had the idea to alert authorities, campus police, or his parents of him being missing. And whatever guy said this, someone later came forward and said, yeah, he told his frat brothers that this would buy some time for them.
Mm.
Another rumor came out in the form of a witness who was on the bridge supposedly and saw what happened that day. They ended up talking to authorities but wanted to remain off the record. His story was that before the morning run, one of the frat... Okay. So mm-hmm. there's a witness story, but the witness story correlates with another story about the text messages. So I'm going to combine them. I forgot to say that. So this is kind of like two stories combined into one. Okay.
Okay.
The story is that before the morning run, one of the frat brothers named Brian Golnick had sent Tucker a text ordering him that he has to bring breakfast for the other brothers because Tucker was the pledge class president. So he had like a little bit more responsibility, right? He was told he had to go and get 30 McDonald's biscuits, 30 hash browns, and 2 gallons of chocolate milk. Tucker replied and texted back, he doesn't have enough money to cover all that. And he was told, okay, well, if you don't have enough, all the other pledges have to get it. Well, the pledge group couldn't make it happen in time and everything. So when they showed up to the run without the food, Brian, the guy that ordered it through text message, was pissed off. So Brian called over a guy named Thomas King, who's another one of the brothers, and Brian, in a pissy mood, told Thomas about the incident while really mad.
Because he didn't get his McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah, before a run.
Ew.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk?
Before a run.
No.
I know. That was the first thing I said when I was typing. I was like, did I type that wrong?
Like, no. Wait a second. That's what you choose to eat? Maybe it was supposed to be after.
I
mean, they did go back to the house and have breakfast, so
true.
Maybe it was supposed to be after.
So then when they, well, no, because then it wouldn't make sense why this happens before the run. So then when they were on the run, Thomas, the guy that just got told by Brian, he confronts Tucker on the bridge. Next thing you know, he said Tucker just went over the rail.
Yeah, because that's how that works.
ever. When does that? Okay. So in the past, there was a supposed hazing ritual that took place at this exact spot, the railing, okay? And that you would have the pledges walk across the rails, and supposedly people think they were forcing Tucker to do this, and he might have fell. They said that a witness saw Tucker fall, because that is what happened, and he ended up catching himself on the railing under his arms, but he was unable to pull himself up, and no one was willing to help him before he fell into the shallow water, he hit his head, and then... voila, that's how it went down.
And everyone just continued to run away.
Apparently. Or who did stop. They never mentioned who stopped. So maybe only these two guys were there and they were like, oh, shit. Well, Thomas then called Campbell Starr and Sam Carney over to the rail because he said they need to look for Tucker in the water. They shined flashlights because they had their cell phones. They shined their flashlights over from their cell phones over the bridge, but couldn't find him. So they gave up and they ran back to the house.
I mean, I have the brand new iPhone And my flashlight would not reach 25 feet.
No, in dark waters at 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think you were going to
see? What did you think you were going to see?
So this wasn't the only story that was circulating about what happened on the bridge. There was another rumor that Thomas and Brian actually dangled Tucker over the railing by his legs or like his ankle area because he didn't obey the rules and bring the breakfast. And they accidentally dropped him and he fell in the water and hit his head. Then another witness came forward. His name was Edwin Griffin. Edwin is 73 years old, and it's kind of weird what happens. So he was found talking to the authorities, and he talked to the county sheriff's office in 2015 about what he saw on the bridge. And he says that, like, yeah, he saw the other guys there and stuff like that, right? So they were like, great, we need this. Great, let's go on record. So when it comes time for the lawsuit, he just doesn't show up.
That's weird.
For the court trial, literally. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like, oh, like, haha, maybe he didn't know. Like, he literally was a no-show. And so the judge and the defense were like, no, that's not what's allowed to happen. We call him in for a deposition. And initially, this man is 73. He claims that he was unable to appear for the deposition because he had medical issues. That's fine. We can work around that, the judge says, essentially. So the attorneys schedule another deposition, which he also doesn't show up to. So then the judge is like, no, I need answers because I need to know what to do in this case. So they send him a subpoena. And then all of a sudden it vanishes from the case.
Oh,
literally, I can't find anything out after the subpoena.
Damn it, Edwin. Come on.
So I don't know what happened there. Like, I tried a few other articles, but I couldn't find any solution after the subpoena, really.
Seems like money is involved.
Seems very weird.
Yeah.
And I get it. He's old. He's 73. And maybe they did do something where they found out his medical issues were brain related. And they were like, oh, well, we have to stricken it from the record. At least tell me that in the CNN report.
Yeah. So I know what I'm looking for. No, that would have been in the report.
I feel like it would have.
I think there's some money involved.
So all these different rumors are happening, but they all kind of circulate to something happening on the bridge. Well, then the witness that does come forward refuses to give a statement under oath or give their name. Great.
Sounds great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're doing great.
Super helpful.
And all these rumors are circulating around the idea of hazing, which hazing in the United States is illegal in all but 6 states. It's legal in Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, New Mexico, Alaska, and Hawaii.
But like, why?
From what I understood, it seemed like it's because they haven't had issues with it there is what it looked like.
That's not how those things work, though.
Yeah, I know. But that's kind of what the basis of what I saw is they like don't have a
like if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Kind of. It's more like a we don't have anything to fight. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, is how they kind of look
until
at
the
it.
One day
it
you
happens,
do.
Then they have a reason to fight it. Yes. Mm. Which is a sad way of looking at it. But that's kind of what it came down to. It looked like.
Okay.
In 2015, Cindy and Gary Hips had filed 2 separate civil lawsuits. Each one were seeking $25 million in damages, so $50 million total. They were combined lawsuits, but they targeted against the university, the fraternity, and 3 of the members, the 3 guys that were on the run. Those suits alleged that there was a fatal confrontation on the bridge that clearly ended their son's life, and the parents believe that some sort of cover-up is happening now. The lawsuit claimed that the fraternity and the university were liable for Tucker Hips' death due to their failure to properly supervise and regulate the activities that were happening within the fraternity.
I could see that because they never called them back. That's on them.
I do get that. The National Fraternity filed a motion to dismiss the case. They stated that Tucker Hips' death was caused by his, quote, voluntarily jumping into the water.
Okay.
End quote. From a bridge over Lake Hartwell, resulting in his own, quote, negligence.
Negligence.
Not even his own death, his own negligence.
Okay.
In 2019, a jury rejected all the claims and found no fault at the defendants. So all those kids, the university, all that. Gary and Cindy had worked through trying to pass legislations against hazing at this point, because they kind of thought that maybe they weren't going to get answers. So they at least wanted to help others so that no one has to go through what they do. Right. His parents do so much. I've never heard of 2 parents in a case doing so much in every aspect. They have the Tucker Hips Transparency Act that states all public institutions of higher education, excluding technical colleges, now must provide a public record of actual findings of any violations that the institution conduct of student organizations finds by fraternities and sorority organizations formerly or currently affiliated with the institution. So anything.
Yeah, I can see that.
That is a record of a violation. And it goes on record for forever now. These reports will also include conduct violations regarding alcohol, drugs, sexual assault, physical assault, and hazing. So that also, like, it gets not only noted for that person, but for that fraternity.
Forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, the even just something as simple as a drinking infraction. Because then you can build a case once you have enough of this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is really helpful. His parents didn't stop there. They then created the Tucker W. Hips Memorial Foundation in Tucker's honor. And they also hold charity golf tournaments every year. They also hold an annual Tucker W. Hips Memorial Bass Fishing Competition tournament every year.
Wow.
And all these, like, raise money, raise events, raise awareness, all these things do. They do so much. In 2022, a judge did approve for $250,000 as a settlement between Clemson University and the Hips family. That's all they deem this child's life worth, which is so sad.
Not nearly enough.
Judge Robin Stillwell approved the deal, and the university promised to create a $50,000 endowment in Tucker Hips' name. The Clemson University also agrees to put Tucker Hips' name on a pew in the planned student chapel that was going to be built to pursue the possibility of the Hips Memorial Golf Tournament also. So, yeah, they're going to help out. That's not the same. It's okay.
Thanks for nothing.
After the events, the Sigma Phi Epsilon, I still think I'm doing that wrong, but they closed their chapter at Clemson University due to a lot of backlash. Which, by the way, when I was picking those cases earlier to read off, I found other cases from other of that exact same fraternity at other colleges, like their brother fraternities, that also have hazing deaths. This is not the only potential one. Just so you
it just
guys
makes
are
me
aware.
Think of all of the movies where they're like, oh, yeah, in the history of, you know, this one over here.
Neighbors?
Yeah.
Is that the exact one you're thinking of?
Probably. I mean, it's also in like.
Because Neighbors made fraternities and hazing not look that bad, and it made it look funny and stuff like that. But that is not what it's like.
So does American Pie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I will say the American Pie ones look a little scary.
Well, yeah, but. You
but
know.
Like the worst thing, and I think the Neighbors is like the one guy has to fuck an old lady or something like that. Like,
yeah,
not near as traumatic someone
don't
potentially
remember.
Dying.
Yeah.
Now, when this happened, the Sigma Phi actually was going to only, they weren't technically closed. They were on a 5-year suspension. Then they were technically told they could reopen, but there's a lot of like rules to this. So once any fraternity, I guess, or sorority is closed, when they want to come back, the chapter has to be eligible to start by getting the, like, I was reading up on it, and of course I can't talk about it now because I forget, but essentially, like, they have to get their
it's like a
leaders
petition.
To say yes, in yeah. a sense, like, whoever's in charge of that fraternity, in a sense. Not just at that college, but as a whole. Now, if the chapter was approved to reopen, it would be eligible to start recruiting new members in the spring of 2020 semester, becoming a viable fraternity on campus again. However, the chapter suspended all activity at the start of 2015 after Tucker's death. And even though the chapter members are all denying anything happened or having any responsibility towards it, they haven't opened up again. And even in 2022, there's still no word that they are underway to start another Sigma Phi chapter at Clemson because the Fraternities National, that's what it's called, the Fraternities National, has to send a letter of intent to the university to say that they're willing to try to, like, change.
It makes me think of Scream Queens.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that show, though.
Me
Dang.
Too. It's a great one.
The Hips family settlement with Sigma Phi requires that the fraternity has to inform Hips parents if they even want to, like, make an effort to restart the chapter before they can even tell Clemson that they want to. Like, the Hips family comes first
there. Good luck.
The fraternity also must meet with the Hips parent and Clemson officials to get suggestions on how to have a successful return before they could even do it. In 2023, Daniel Catullio, who is a documentary filmmaker, created a 6-part docuseries called Protect the House. And it talks about the story of Tucker, about the histories of hazing and stuff, just what his family's gone through battling the system and everything else. And crazy enough, this guy was a member of Sigma Phi, this exact Sigma Phi. So like,
that is insane. So he knows exactly what they go through.
Has happened probably. Yeah. Which they say a lot of times that you take like an oath of secrecy and solidarity afterwards and stuff.
I don't really understand like the so like you have like Sigma Phi and then you have like. Like what's the epsilon at the end? You know what I mean? Like you have Sigma Phi and then you have Sigma Phi this and Sigma Phi.
I don't know, but I know I they need to learn more three.
About this. What?
I know they always have three, but I don't know why or anything like that. Yeah. I guess I do know one other like sorority fraternity thing off the top of my head. Sorority Row, the one where all the girls get hunted one by one.
Mm-hmm.
That one too. So that's the end of everything, Tucker Hips. That's where it all ended. Still to this day, no one knows technically what happened. I mean, obviously people have theories. Before Kylie and I give our theories, I put this in the episode description also, but if anyone with any information that could help any part of this investigation knows anything about Tucker Hips' death, they're asked to call the Oconee County Sheriff's Office of Criminal Investigations Bureau at 864-718-1052 and speak with investigator Jimmy Dixon. Anyone can also give an anonymous tip, but don't do it unless you have an actual tip. It can be given at the website that's also in the description. It's the Crime Stoppers, but that specific area Crime Stoppers. You can also call 1-888-CRIME-SC. There is a reward of $100,000 for information that leads to an actual closure in the case if it gets solved.
Edwin, where are you at? Where are you at, brother?
This family just wants closure at this point.
Yeah.
So.
And don't blame them.
Oh, you want to talk about how we feel?
Yeah, let's do it.
I really don't want to. I was hoping that I was wrong before I started this one, because I was looking at cases to do and I had wrote this down a while back and I was like, you know, I never really remember like what that case was because I know a few podcasts that have covered it, but I haven't listened to it yet. So this was also like a fresh case for me in a sense. And I was like, well, you know. It's probably not an actual hazing death. That's probably not what it is. Like, it definitely was something else, right? After learning everything I learned, I feel like it's, I hate to point the fingers, but I genuinely do think this was a hazing death gone wrong and mm-hmm. it's being covered somehow. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of activity that happened on the bridge that got covered. I feel like what probably happened was, yeah, some people stayed behind. And maybe, you know, he was staying behind because he was slowing down. And then maybe two people were like, oh, you know, I'm going to go check on him. You wouldn't have thought anything in the moment. And seeing two of the like older guys like go back or whatever. And then when you continue running, you know, no one notices when the other guys get back. It's odd to me that it took so long to call the police. It's odd to me how calm everyone is. There's just so many things that are like, this is too many odd occurrences to not lead to something odd happening on that bridge. If it was one or two odd things, okay. But like, there's like 10 to 12 glaring red flags in your face. And if you don't think something odd, that's almost odd of you not to think, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What do you think, Kylie?
Are you ready for this bombshell? How is no one talking about the fact that he, quote, slowed down when he is this star athlete?
Yeah.
I guarantee you he did not need to slow down. So I think that something definitely happened on the bridge. I think it was more like the leader, which was probably Sam, right? Was like, you know, go like rough him up or like go scare him a little bit to make sure that, you know, he realizes what he's done or, you know, something stupid and, you know, boys. I think it was more like they were going to scare him. They did the old ritual of the rail walk and then were planning on scaring him to like be scared he was going to fall. And then he actually fell, or like they maybe like grabbed his ankles like, ah, don't fall. And then
it led to him falling.
And then they dangled. So like, you know, the whole like idea of him dangling, like he was dangling and then they couldn't catch him. Like they couldn't grab onto him very well because they weren't really trying to grab onto him in that point. And then he just fell. I think that's what happened.
Cause there, I'm sorry, if he genuinely fell 25 feet, I feel like he would have at least screamed or something. He would have made some sort of a noise and someone would have heard it. At 5:30 in the morning, you're going to notice a scream.
Well, I guess I don't know like the area, but yeah, I agree.
How far could the other guys have ran?
But I think,
if I'm going for a 5:30
I think everyone knows. I think everyone knows.
I don't know.
Unless they were genuinely really far ahead. I think anybody that was anywhere near that vicinity was.
Well, what if it's like a curved running area or something? Like what if they were around a curve and they genuinely didn't think anything of it? Because there are ways, you know, that I feel like the other guys could have maybe not known. I do believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think the pledges would go so far as to cover this all up because they would have been scared this could have happened to me type. Well, maybe that's another reason we're scared this could have happened to me.
But he was like the pledge leader or whatever, too. So like they had to make an example.
Yeah.
To scare everybody else. And I think that it is a cover up because of money.
And because of who some of these people are. And yeah,
their parents are are bigger people. And so they have the means to be able to cover those things up. So Edwin, come on, man. It's not worth it.
Which also, if he's 73 and he's already having health issues, we only have, and I don't mean to sound cynical, we only have so much time until he's already going to be probably not usable either due to old age or passing away.
Not usable.
His memories, I mean.
Super bleak.
I meant his memory. Like, we can't use his testimony. I know. That didn't come out right, I think. Whoops.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think this is, I'm labeling the episode as a hazing death because I think it's a hazing death.
Gone wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think they meant to kill him.
No, I don't think it was meant to be a murder.
Yeah.
But I think that's what happened and now everyone's too scared.
Yep.
And you can't just say, yeah, we dangled a kid or yeah, we did the walk of thing. They can't because then it's going to come back on them. They're going to get
a lot.
What is that thing called? Not manslaughter. Is it called manslaughter?
Yeah.
For some reason, that felt like the wrong word. It felt kind of like made up.
Well, it wasn't like.
It wasn't a murder. It was like an accidental.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah.
What is the word I want when you've already thought about it? Intentional.
Planned. No. That's what I'm trying to think of, too. And that's why it's so weird that I can't.
What is it? Oh.
Premeditated.
Jesus.
I didn't even get to type it in. I just typed the letter planned. Or the word planned, and I was like, premeditated. Yeah. It is. Yes, it wasn't premeditated murder. It was accidental manslaughter.
Yes.
But you're going to still get a lot of time. And if you're a young, hip college kid in the prime youth with parents with money and you're
going places.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No.
So can mommy and daddy pay to make this go away?
Absolutely. Yep,
they can. That's exactly what money's for. The rich get away with murder.
Murder.
Yeah. Obviously, we want to know what you guys think. We are totally open. If you don't think that this was a hazing death, that is 100% fine as well. Tell us why.
We want to know.
It's always good to have a conversation and a debate. We are never trying to be, even though we give our opinions and our opinions are strong, we are never closed-minded enough to listen to other theories, potentials, possibilities, and ideas, especially if it's maybe something we didn't have a piece of information. That just helps us as a whole make a new concept theory or, you know, conversation happen. So we're always open for that kind of stuff. But until then, thanks once again for listening to this week's case. And we hope you guys tell us how you feel and feel free to talk to us so that we can, you know, have the conversation.
Thank you for joining us after dark. We can't wait to chat with you next week for another new episode. Sleep tight. I think this is moving.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Like, probably it's a really, really cheap
mic. Like, look at this. How do I move it? How do I
mean, you could get new mic arms.
What? You could.
Why would I?
Okay, exactly.
In support of us. You support us.
fucking
You support
us. Literally was on your roof today.
It's lower.
Supporting my house.
Fixed your shower.
Yeah, that's supporting my house. This is
not my hobby. We support you and your hobbies, yeah. Corey.
Okay, go buy me a fucking lens.
No, we gave you more people to advertise to.
You have somewhere to live and your house isn't leaking.
I feel like Corey's being sassy tonight.
A little bit sassy.